Well, good morning, and isn't it thrilling to be here? I thought as we sang that last hymn, with Christ as the center, and we're to arise and praise him. Is there anything better than that? I don't think so. You know, we have the world around us, and if we aren't careful, we walk through the world and we see Satan makes an attack and we get discouraged and we get down. We have to keep our focus on Christ, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And, you know, I'm speaking today on verses in Ephesians chapter 5 from the 21st verse to the 32nd. And what we have in that section, and going on into the 6th chapter and the 9th verse, are the household codes. How is the structure of the home in God's sight set up? And I'm speaking to you this morning from a position of blessing. Jean and I are almost married for 55 years. We have 5 children. They all love the Lord. Their spouses love the Lord. Our grandchildren are being raised in homes that fear God. What else could I hope for? But I can say this, that it's only the grace of God. And I can remember when Jean and I were going together, we had an interesting walk at a conference down in southern Ohio. And the person that I thought might be there, who I might be interested in, didn't show. And thank God for that. And Jean was expecting maybe someone was going to be there that she'd have to deal with. And I don't think he showed either. Anyway, my good friend and Jean's cousin, John Rule, said, well, why don't we go out and you ask Jean out? And she's 2.5 years older than me, right? So that's pretty risky. I didn't know what to do there. But anyway, we decided to go on a walk. And as we were walking along, we were starting to talk about, you know, what do you want in a relationship? That's an interesting come on, isn't it? What are you interested? And then, you know, we were talking and we were exploring that, and all of a sudden there was a spark by the Spirit of God, I'm sure. And we both felt it at the same time. And then we had to, she was in California working on her doctor's degree. I was in Ottawa working on my engineering degree. It was 2 years, and that wasn't no internet, no computers, nothing. We phoned the odd time. We wrote every day missives, and we kept those for years, and they recorded, or they brought us together with a focus. And I just wanted to start when we were deciding how we wanted our lives to look together. This was a joint discussion. We wanted to make the Lord's things first, primary. We both felt that. And I think both of us realized we had been dating in other situations where that hadn't been number one in our discussions. And then we said we would like our family and our relationships to be second in priority. And thirdly, our careers. And that's more or less the way it worked out. And I'm thankful to the Lord for that. Not that it was always that way, but that's what our desire was. And I believe God has honored that. And like I say, I'm speaking from a place of blessing. So we're going to start today, and we're going to look at this passage. And interesting passage in the current world. But I think as we go through it, I trust the Lord will give us the direction and the insight that he wants us to have by his Spirit. So I'm going to, first of all, pray, ask the Lord's help, and then we're going to listen to him speak to us by reading his word, and then we'll, with the Lord's help, try to expound a little on it. So our God and our Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father, that you sent him to be the Savior of the world, and that we can be here this morning, redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. We thank you that each one of us can stand in your presence because of what Christ did at Calvary and how he dealt with our sins and our flesh. And, O Lord Jesus, we pray that as we look at your word, that we might exalt you because we see that you're the focus and the center of all God's plan. And, Lord, would you encourage us by your Spirit to leave here encouraged with a desire to live more for your glory and for one another. So we ask these things, Lord Jesus, in your worthy name. Amen. Well, I want to start reading, and this is my joy, to read what God says. You know, people say, well, God told me this, God told me that. Hey, I'm going to read what God told me right here from his word. Isn't that wonderful? We read what God said. Here it is. And I'm going to read in the fifth chapter of Ephesians, and I'm going to start with the 18th verse, partway through the 18th verse, to get the connection. And what I want to point out here is that we're going to have four or five present participles. You know what they are? They're things that are linked with verbs that explain it, modify it. And as we do this, I'll just mention to start with, it says, be filled with the Spirit, and then it says, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Here's the next one, singing and making melody to the Lord with your hearts. Then giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So each one of those participles depend on being filled in the Spirit. As we sing together, we want to be filled with the Spirit. As we address one another, we want to be filled with the Spirit. That's the call. And we can't fulfill what we have in these verses that we're going to look at today unless we're filled with the Spirit. If you think you're going to handle this just thinking naturally, forget it. The only way we can approach these verses is by being filled with the Spirit. And when it comes to submission, that's a bad word. We don't like it. Our pride doesn't like it. I don't like it. You're going to tell me something? Hey, let me tell you something. It's the way we are formed in the flesh. But we're going to find that we're to submit to one another in Christ. We are a different company here this morning. We are made differently because we've been converted by the Spirit of God. We're a new creation in Christ. It's not that my old nature was massaged and changed. It's that I have been given a new nature in Christ Jesus, and I'm in Christ. As I mentioned 2 weeks ago, I'm wearing a new name tag in Christ. That's me and you. And we'll come back in more detail to unpack each statement here, but let's go on. Wives. Now, I might mention we're going to read 3 verses for the wives and 6 verses for the men. Got that? And I'm going to be speaking mostly to men today. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Okay, this is the next section here. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Now, I'll just point out there's 5 verbs here that are describing what Christ does. And we're going to look at them and how we should be doing that for our wives, men. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water by the word, so that he might sanctify the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, so this is the second thing, the way husbands are to love. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Simple, clear, direct, challenging. And I'm going to start by making several points before I actually dive into the text. Because I know that this is really about husband and wife, but there are many single people here. And I want to just make a few comments and some other points that I need to make before we start. So here, this is from, John Piper was speaking to a group of single people, and he gave these principles here. And I just like to read them as he put them out. Maybe I modified them a bit. The family of God does not propagate through natural children being born, but through spiritual birth when a person comes to faith in Christ. The relationship we have in Christ is more precious than any family relationship and is permanent compared to family relationships which last only as long as we live. Marriage is temporary and gives way to what is modeled after, the relationship between Christ and the church. This relationship is permanent. Faithfulness to Christ defines the value of life. All other relationships we form derive their meaning and significance from this one. No family relationship is ultimate. Relationship to Christ is. So that puts us all in the same category here. As we read this passage, there are obviously words for husbands and wives specifically, but it's for all of us as we think of who Christ is and how he has redeemed us. And so, generally speaking here, in that topic that we just mentioned, natural relationships are temporary. Hard for me to grab a hold of that, actually. I've been very happily married for almost 55 years, and to think that I'll go to heaven and I won't be married to Jean, I'm not sure. But God said that. We're not given to marriage. So, to all of us, it's really important that we keep that relationship primary. Who am I in Christ? How do I relate to others in Christ? And I have to measure everything by that. That's the thing that encourages us and drives us forward. Now, I want to make a couple of other points before we start. God's ordained roles have nothing to do with superiority or inferiority. We all come to Christ the same way. We all have to come through faith in Jesus Christ. We may have different roles, but we're equal before God. As Paul says in Galatians, "For you are all sons or children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." From 1 Peter 3, "Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so your prayers may not be hindered." We're joint heirs with Christ. It's no priority here. I also like to say, and I won't spend a lot of time referring to different passages, but I could, but there is absolutely no excuse for any abuse going on in a home. None. And if it's seen, we should confront it. And we've seen it. And we've confronted it in some places. And there's a huge amount of unhappiness that comes out of that when a person will not submit to the will of God. And that marriage goes on. It's not a marriage anymore in the situation I'm thinking of, because they would not submit to what God's word says. Both husband and wife live, first of all, in, to, and for the Lord. That's our primary thing. I've already said that. Both seek to promote each other within the purposes of Christ and live out the oneness of the relationship before Him. As husband and wife, Jean and I pray when we get up in the morning. Or actually, we sometimes aren't up. We're praying in bed. But we pray. We're one before Christ. We're one before God. We start with Him. He has a priority. Both make decisions for unselfish reasons. All right? Talking the marriage relationship. Both make decisions for unselfish reasons. And both make decisions for both give each other freedom to make incidental choices for himself or herself. We're not in a control mode, dads, fathers. We're in a loving mode, as we're going to see. Now, I want to say this as we start into this, because this is an important verse that I often think of. Jesus was speaking, and he said, "My teaching is not mine, but His who sent me. If anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I'm speaking of my own authority." As the King James translation says, "If any man will to do my will, he shall know of the doctrine." The approach to the topic we have this morning is a question of the will. Am I willing to do what God wants me to do? Am I willing to fulfill the role that I'm supposed to fill in our home? And another, just lastly, marriage is under attack in our culture. A recent survey showed that 20% of the population think that marriage is an outdated activity. So it's under attack. And how can we display the character of God? One of the ways is by having a godly marriage. That is, where a husband and wife are totally sold out to Christ. I saw that in our home with my dad and mom. Totally sold out. And people look at it from the outside now, and they can, whether you can hand out tracts or speak publicly or be an evangelistic, a radical evangelist, every one of us, by the way we live, give the gospel. And we give it by following the word of God and displaying the character that He wants us to show. Now, mutual submission, it starts out submitting to one another out of reverence in the fear of Christ. So there's the exhortation, submitting to one another. There's the means, and that's why I read the passage. The means is by the Holy Spirit, and the motive is out of reverence for Christ. We can't do it without the Lord and the Holy Spirit. And as I mentioned 2 weeks ago, the Spirit is with us. He's going along with us. And this passage tells us that Christ, we're one with Christ. And so we have the Holy Spirit, we have Christ, he's with us, and that is the way we navigate through this world. So the exhortation is submitting yourselves to one another. And I'm looking at the time, and I see I have 5 minutes or 10 minutes left. I don't have much time. But the general principles are here. And it says, I'll just read two verses that put us in the atmosphere of submission. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. If you're truly humble, you're free of self. You're other-centered. And that's how we can submit to one another. The means I've already mentioned, it's by the Spirit of God. And the motive is, as is points out here, out of reverence for Christ. And in fact, that aspect of things is the ground for our praise and for our submission, out of reverence for Christ. If you really have a reverence for him, then you will want to do what he tells us to do. I'm going to skate over the next three verses, all right? There is a verse in Titus that says, let the older women instruct the younger women to love their husbands and so on. If I have time, we'll go back and comment on those verses to the women, but I want to focus the last bit on the men. I'm in a little better position to do that, all right? I think I am anyway. So let's look at the text. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that he might be holy and without blemish. This is probably one of the most succinct descriptions of who Christ is and what he's done in the whole Bible. And it's in connection with how we relate to our wives, gentlemen. And it doesn't say the Lord didn't love us because we submitted to him. He loved us in spite of everything. And he redeemed us and he gave himself for us. And the love here, the word love, it's not, there's three Greek words, of course, for love. You know that, eros, erotic, comes from that. Philion, which means brotherly love. And eros is sort of take. Philion is give and take. Agape is give. That's the aspect of love that we have here. Husbands, love your wives. And it's the, if I said, well, what's the character of you as a husband leading your home? What would you say? What would be the first word that pops into your mind? Well, it should be love. It should be love. That's what a leader does. He loves. As a husband, we love our wives and our children, just as Christ loved the church. And Christ's love was a sacrificial love. And here's what 1 Corinthians 13 says, 17 things that are plus, 8 things that are negative. Listen to this. This is love. And I want, as we go through it, men, do a little checklist in your mind to see how you measure up to this love. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. How'd you do? That's what we're called to. We're to have that personality. We're to have that desire. And then the next says, gave himself for her. So the Christ loved the church, and then he gave himself for her. Have you died to self? Sacrifice means setting down your own interests. You know, does your golf game come ahead of your wife and family, or your hockey game, or whatever it is? Or are you focused on the good of your wife? That's what we're called to here, to be self-sacrificed. That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. Sanctify means to set apart. Is your wife set apart in a special, unique way that no one else compares to? No one else fills that spot. No one else takes priority over that love for your wife and for that setting her apart. She's special and set apart for a faithful husband. And you know, and I know, there are many things in the world. Satan, you can't even going along, everything's going great. A temptation comes, and you got to judge it. You got to come back to that aspect that she's been sanctified, set apart. Cleansed her with the washing of the water of the word. So Christ morally cleanses us. As I read the word of God each day, it cleanses me. It's like you're in a shower. And the question is, as a husband, do you and your wife read the word of God together? And do you feel the shower, the cleansing? Jean and I read it every day. We're reading through the Bible again. Thanks to the brethren here who suggested last year that we read through the Bible in a year. We're doing it in the second year, and it keeps us on track. It keeps us, every day I read, and I honestly read the Word of God, and Jean does too, and it's not our only reading. Jean's in verse 5 and Proverbs 31, and I'm doing other things, but that united together reading the Word of God, I get excited when I read it. This is truth. Every other book I read, you know, is it a good book or bad book? What's the author like? When I come to this book, it's true. It's a revealed truth of God. It speaks to me. It speaks to my heart. You need to wash each other with the Word of God. The other point at the end of this chapter is Christ presents it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. That's the end point, right? He loved, he gave, he now sanctifies and washes, and then he's going to present it to himself. And as husbands, do we promote the good of our wives? Do we let them seek their potential? Do we encourage them? You know, Jean, I'll just tell you this. Jean taught at university to start with, and she taught high school, and she taught, and then we had children, and she didn't work. She was in the home for 15 years. And when she was thinking of going back to teach part-time and then ended up teaching guidance counselor, she was a bit unsure of just how that would look like. And I had to encourage her. She's smarter than me, right? She's better, more skilled in so many ways, and I had to encourage her to think about doing that. And of course, she went back and there was no problem. But I had to encourage her to do that. And that was a team effort. And my wife encourages me all the time. You know, when I was retiring, I made a statement at my retirement talk that I wouldn't have had the positions I had if it hadn't been for my wife. And I singled it out and I praised her, I affirmed her. And afterwards, a number of my staff said, man, I wish my husband would talk about me like that. Do we affirm our wives? Do we affirm and care for them? Do we promote them? Looking to the end, like Christ looked at the end when he's going to present it to himself, a glorious church, we should want all our wives to be like Proverbs 31 ladies and have them have that liberty to do that. All right. we're going to have to shorten this up. There's lots on the table here. And dear sisters, I'll just say that in terms of the submission and the submission verses here, wives, submit to your own husbands. It's sort of the same as submitting to each other in a sense, because that's the exhortation is wives, submit to your own husbands. You can only do it by being filled with the Spirit. And then the motive is as to the Lord. You do it as to the Lord. And you aren't a doormat. And men, you do not trust, you treat your wife in any way other than total respect. And if you have a difference of opinion, you wait, and hopefully things work out. Yes, ultimately, you're head of the home. Christ is head of the church. And you need to have that responsibility. But in all the years that we've been married, I can't think of times when I've said, well, that's the way we're going to do it, whether you like it or not. Nor did I ever see it in my parents' home. Because we were subject to the Word of God. And I needed to be challenged at times. Frank, that's not of the Spirit. You're not speaking that way. I still remember when Jean spoke to me once with my children. I was getting frustrated, as sometimes happens. I'm not perfect. And she said, Frank, you're more patient with your students at school than you are with your own kids. Whew! Oh! It's true. So we need that kind of rebuke. We need helpmates that lead us on in the things of God. The last two parts, I was going to talk about the profound mystery, but let me just go to the part five, which is a summary statement for husbands and wives. Verse 33. However, each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Comment. Loving my wife as Christ loved the church might seem too idealistic, too difficult. I mean, Christ's love, it tells us it surpasses knowledge. So that's tough. And so the Spirit of God says, well, if that's tough, I know you love yourself. That's natural. So love your wife as yourself. Brings it down to something very simple and manageable. Who do you put first in your marriage? Your wife or you? I hope all of us put our wives first. Venerate them, give them, praise them, affirm them the way we should. And wives, we're living in a culture that's rebelled against any kind of order that we have. God has laid out the order for the home here, right? He's ordered it for men and women, husband and wife, children and parents, and slaves and masters, or employees and employers. And we, if you want a happy life, you follow the Word of God. I can speak to that. You will have a happy life if you give Christ and His Word priority in your life. I can speak with authority on that. I've been there. I am there. And so, even though this is not a politically correct thing, it's God's Word. Respect your husband. Submit. And men, if we love our wives, it'll be easy. It won't be an issue. But when we act like jerks, when we get out there with our anger, anger is one of the worst things. If you are involved in that, get help. Get someone to pray with. Read the Word of God. Read this section. I don't need to expound it. I mean, it's clear. Love your wife. May God grant that we have the courage and the faith to live in this society according to the Word of God, not according to our own thinking. How can we say that this society isn't in total rebellion against God and His order? It is. But we need to follow the word of God with courage and faith. Oh, our God and Father, we pray that these few words, this few looking at your word, having it speak to us, and having these few comments might encourage us to live for your glory. Lord Jesus, you gave yourself for us. We're going to be remembering you and what it cost you to redeem us to yourself. What it cost you to give us the framework that we live by, and the cost it was to give us the hope and the love for one another. Lord Jesus, we just commit ourselves into your hand, in your worthy and precious name. Amen.